Jason won that match against Shane, and Shane's a king, and he went up and stood in his chair. You don't stand in the king's chair.
Another episode of the Cue It Up podcast. Today, I am going to be joined by the creator, well, the writers and creators are a shortstop's guide on Straight Pool. So, I am joined by David and Bob. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having us.
Yep, doing fine. Thanks.
Yep. And, of course, the first question has to be, where did the idea come from and how did it all come together? We'll ask that to David first.
Well, I've heard Bob's description of it, and he blatantly accuses me of tricking him into it, which is absolutely true. And I'll let him give that description. I think that he's been on the wrong end of it, or the brunt of it, and probably understands it even better than I do.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, you could ask there's a short answer and a long answer. The short answer is David tricked me into it. So you want to hear the long answer?
Oh, of course.
I've been a pool player for almost 40 years, and I took about 10 years off starting in 2008 when the economy crashed. And I came back to pool a couple of years ago. I've always been a big, big fan of straight pool, but throughout my pool career, there was no opportunity to play it. I really played 9-ball and 10-ball like everyone else, and then one pocket. But when I came back, I'm 58 years old now, and I'm not interested as much in competing in tournaments. I'm interested in seeing how good I can get, and that meant playing straight pool. So when I came back 2 years ago, I joined the Straight Pool League, and David runs the Straight Pool League in Denver. And after the first league, he said, hey, there's a lot of people that have been asking questions about how to play better. They see you running all these balls, and they're wondering if you can put together some type of a class, some type of a group class for the players that are interested. And so I wrote down an outline. As a matter of fact, David found the outline just the other day, and it has five lines on it. And it says break shots, end patterns, drills. It's just like five bulleted items, but I put together a little course, and then we ran it twice. There was five classes, five different weeks, and we had a whole bunch of players show up. And then during the course of running that class, David said, this is pretty good stuff, and I wish we had it on video. Maybe you can write it out and just give a little bit longer of an explanation of the concept you've talked about. And we'll make a little pamphlet and hand it out to the students who took the class. So I did that. And that took a little while because I don't think I'm a natural writer and I wasn't all that motivated to do it, but I got it done and handed it out. And then the students liked that. And then David said, gee, this is the beginnings of a book. And I was like, wow, it kind of is the beginnings of a book. That's how it started. That was, probably, when was that, David? Maybe January of this year when we decided to make it?
Yeah, I'm thinking January, February, right in there.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So the title for the book is a little, I guess you got to be a pool player to really understand it, but I guess take us through why you settled on a shortstop or I guess the term shortstop on straight pool for your title.
Yeah, what was the first title, David? I'm trying to remember. We had a different title at first.
Yeah, I don't remember either, really. But there was a working title, and then you came up with that one.
There was a different working title. There was a different working title, and it was more formal or rigid. I'm reminded of some of the titles of Phil Capel's books, something like Playing Your Best Straight Pool. It was something along those lines. But as I was writing, I realized I wanted a title that was less formal. And what I wanted to do is I didn't want to do is give the impression that I'm some fantastic professional straight pool player and I know how to do it and I'm going to tell you how to do it. This is kind of the attitude that I get from the Phil Capel's books. He's where he quotes all the straight pool, you know, the great straight pool players and shows their shots. I wanted to come up with a title that said, no, I'm just one of you. I'm a 100 ball runner, but I'm not a pro, but I can teach you. I can show you how to get to my level if you're not there yet. And so I wanted to make something a lot more relatable and friendly. And so I came up with shortstop on straight pool. And to me, the term shortstop always meant a certain thing. But as I talked to different people, a lot of different people have a different impression of what the word shortstop means. I was surprised to learn that some people think that in the pool world, that shortstop means somebody who can't play at all. And what I've always understood shortstop to mean is the shortstop is the best player in your town or your community or your area, but he's not quite good enough to go pro.
That's always the, to be, I guess, jumping in real quick. That's always my understanding of the word too. And I use shortstop a couple times on the podcast and had people reach out to me saying, you know, you're using that term wrong, right? And
right.
I'm in the same camp as you. I always thought it was somebody who wasn't quite a pro, but could compete with pros given the right circumstances.
Exactly. And I actually did a little bit of research to Google it. And the word shortstop has been used in other sports as well. And there is no formal definition. It kind of floats around. Actually, I found a thread on AZ Billiard once where somebody asked that exact question. And I was reading it, and there might have been 10 different definitions of just what a shortstop means. So that's why on my website, the very first line of the website below the title, we put what shortstop means according to my book. We put shortstop is a noun. It's one of the best players around, but not quite professional. But that's the origin of the title. I wanted it to be very relatable. And then I've had people tell me who've read the book that it's I'm not talking down to you in the book. I'm very much coming across at an even playing field, look, saying, look, I know I've been there. I know exactly how you feel, and I can show you how to get there. Yeah. And based on some of the earlier reviews we're getting from the book, people are really getting that from it.
Did you want to add anything to that, David?
Not only that Wikipedia agrees with both of you, that definition that says that the best guy in town is the shortstop, and he's the one that the pro, the road pro that's coming into town to clean everybody out doesn't want to play because he'll be defanged by that guy.
Right.
Yep, he's got to work for his money. He doesn't want to have to work for his money. Yeah. All right. So the next question, you had mentioned in there that you didn't, you had kind of named another book, and I won't go into that one, but you kind of said you didn't like how they kind of talk down to it, and they quote some of the pros, and then they show some of the pro outlooks, and you do some of that stuff in here, not necessarily the talking down, but you do have a lot of pros that were involved, not only in the brainstorming of this book, but actually in some of the videos and creations of this book. Is that correct?
Sure. A whole lot of the video clips and diagrams are from my straight pool sessions. And I don't know what percentage, not probably a little bit less than half, are examples that I've pulled from what pro players have done. So, yeah, other authors have done exactly the same thing. So how is my book different? And what I'm trying to say is this. A lot of the other books on pool, and not just straight pool, other game, nine ball, eight ball, other games as well, they seem to be kind of a collection. Like someone who's not a pro goes out and looks at all these pro events, and they assemble a collection of information. And don't get me wrong, it's all good information. I learned how to play straight pool. A lot of what I learned from books like by authors like Phil Capel. Don't make that, you know, don't misunderstand me there. But the difference in my book is that it's not just a collection of shots assembled in a row. I've organized the information in the order, first of all, in the order that you need to know to run a rack of straight pool. It starts with break shots, And then it goes to rack analysis. How do you look at what happened after the break shot to make decisions what to do? And then it goes into execute. You know, how to come up with a plan to execute, and then working your way into end patterns. So it follows the progression of a single rack of straight pool from beginning to end of the book. And then so in that way, I think it's a much more relatable text that players who are amateurs who can only run five balls, and even players who have run 40 balls, the whole gamut can benefit from this approach. And it's a more direct, it's kind of like taking a lesson from me in person. It's how I would teach you if we went to your pool hall and I showed you how to play straight pool.
I would accentuate that it is an approach to the game, and not just a list of examples. There is a through line of theory through the book that involves making a plan and executing it, and it does go through the details of how to do that. But there is a philosophy that comes out of the book as well that has to do with the approach to the game, and it's unique in my experience. I had not seen it before, and it's part of the reason that I pushed on it so hard to get it done.
All right, so before we jump into the actual content of the book, or more of the content on the book, you do have a quote from Mike Siegel right away in the book. Would you like to talk about why you put that quote in there?
Yeah, let me put it to you this way. I'm a straight pool snob. So I'm one of those guys who's always saying, oh yeah, if you want to play better 9 ball, 10 ball or 8 ball, you should learn to play straight pool. So I'm that annoying guy in the pool hall. But I really believe in it. I've definitely over my pool career played more 9 ball than any other game, but that's because if you wanted to play, you had to play 9 ball. That's what everyone played. And I've got the national team title is in 8 ball on a bar table. So I've played all games. But like I said before, I've been a fan of straight pool since day one. That's the first game I started playing when I was 18 years old. And so Mike Siegel is a real good representation of that, because he dominated 9 ball for a long time, but he also dominated straight pool. And so I think he was a perfect role model for that attitude. And I the very first video that I looked up where Mike Siegel was commenting on a match, that was the quote right from his comment. And he said, once you play straight pool, you can play any game. And I firmly believe that's true.
So if you're a straight pool snob, I'm a straight pool snob plus. I've been preaching those exact principles to anybody that will listen, and anybody that's contemplating joining my straight pool league. And I've had pros in my league who have said the same thing and maybe didn't believe it going into it. Melissa Little and Mark Badal are two that come to mind immediately.
So then a question that branches off that just slightly, and you both kind of touched on it a little bit already. Straight pool, for the most part, it's kind of a dead game in the pocket pool world. There's not a lot of tournaments. There's a couple of them. It's not like it's completely off the map, but there's not a lot of people that still continue to play the game. So I guess this is just going to be a question that goes a little bit more in depth off of what you just did. Why is this game relevant? And why is this, and I guess branching off of that, why is this book relevant to today with the predominant games that are played today?
Yeah, so if you came up to me and said, hey, Bob, you're a good player, you should write a book on pool, you wouldn't choose straight pool. You would choose probably 10 ball or one pocket. And in fact, one of the most recent books that I've seen published, you've probably seen the book by Tom Worth on one pocket. So look at that book. 25 years ago, we had those who's the author of the other One Pocket books? Robbins, the two hardcover books. So you might ask yourself, why would anyone want to write another book on One Pocket when we've already got these basically One Pocket Bibles in these Robin books? And Tom Worth wrote an excellent book. So first of all, it's a labor of love for me. As a straight pool snob, that's the book I would write. And I don't care if it doesn't sell a lot. We've actually been doing really well, but I didn't care. This was in my heart, and with some pushing from David, I wanted to get it out. So first of all, it's just a labor of love. Second of all, and I'll mention something that we talked about earlier. John Schmidt talked about the difference between Americans and Europeans. He said in Europe, when young people want to play, they often end up with a coach, and the coach shows them drills and straight pool. And that's how they learn to play. So when you look at the Moscone Cup and you watch Alvin Ocean and Federer Gorst, Eklund Kacchi, you watch those guys play, they all play the same way, and they are super consistent. And that's because of the way they train. And then, like John Schmidt said, you look at the average American player, they learn how to play pool by playing 8-ball and 9-ball on a bar table. Well, that's not going to cut it. That's why, in my opinion, that's kind of the root of why this year in the Moscone Cup, our players weren't quite at the right level. They don't have that formal training. And that's, I really believe that that's what straight pool gives you. Anyone who wants to be a great 8-ball or 9-ball player should start with straight pool. Anybody who's already a champion 8-ball or 9-ball player is going to get better if they learn to play straight pool. And it's definitely a faded game. It's faded in popularity for sure. There's no doubt about that. But the core group of people on the amateur level and the pro level who like to play the game, they're really passionate about it. And I think if pro pool in America ever gets to the money, the way that that the money is in snooker, for example, it's going to be with a more formal training system and coaches, and they're going to be playing straight pool. I just think it's really important to get it out there.
I would agree, and I'd like to just compare two concepts, two situations where you shoot a good break shot in straight pool and you shoot a good break shot in 9-ball. There is rack analysis that goes into both of those situations. But the rack analysis in 9-ball is where is the 1-ball and what am I going to shoot first? Well, it's going to be the 1-ball, and there's no choice. There's all of those situations that are simply handed to you. In straight pull, in the rack analysis, after a good break shot, you're looking at 15 balls or 14 balls rather, and the choices are much more varied and involve a much bigger thought process than what you're going through in 9-ball. In my mind, that's the beginning of the huge difference between those two games.
Yeah, and the other thing I would add, I've had this discussion, over beer with pool players all the time. There's no one correct answer, but you ask the question, what's the most difficult game to play in pool? And in my opinion, that's straight pool. And one pocket's really close behind there, but I think it's straight pool. And you might say, well, why would we want to play the most difficult game? The reason is that's where you get the respect from the general public. That's what makes it worthy to play. If it's easy, then there's no value in winning it. But if it's very difficult, then that's where the value comes from, and that's where spectators who might want to buy tickets to an online streaming or attend a live event, that's where they're going to be more likely to want to spend their money to see real excellence. And that's what you get from straight pool and one pocket.
Okay. So we can jump into the actual book itself. You have it broken up into chapters and then subchapters within those. Some of them are how to run 100 balls, I guess, in order. Basic break shots, rack analysis, running racks. It seems like you're really building the game from a fundamental level so that even if you don't even if you've never really played straight pool, you're getting a firm base on everything that you need to know to play the game. Was that a conscious decision that you made to try to maybe get interest in the game, if even if you've never really played it?
Absolutely. Definitely was. Like I mentioned before, I wanted to take players through what it takes to run a single rack of straight pool. And then, of course, you just repeat it if you want to achieve long runs. But one of the things that was really important in my pool career, you know, I started playing pool in 1980. And for the first at least 10 years, I was a very average pool player, which means I was not very good. And I thought I was a good player. I had my own cue, and I would go and, you know, I could make 3-4 balls in a row, and I played 8-ball on the bar table and played 9-ball. And the concept that I learned over the next 10 years after that was, you don't know what you don't know. And this is a really hard thing to learn. And it's a truism in everything in life, not just pool. But someone might attend classes and learn a whole bunch of stuff about, let's say, about pool. And the danger is after that class, they've improved and they've gotten better. The danger is thinking, now that I know everything there is to know. And so how do you communicate that? How does a player who's already a fairly good, you know, they might be an APA 4 or 5 or 6, and how do they get to the next level? How do they figure out what it is they need to know? So that's what really the first chapter is about, is explaining that we're all in this learning process in pool. And I'm 58 years old. I've been playing for almost 40 years. I'm still learning things about how to play correctly.
I'm 71, and I've been playing since I was 8 years old. And I don't have a long journey in front of me yet.
That's a little bit about like how you actually decided to write the book. Take us through some of your favorite chapters, or maybe some of the chapters that you think would be most beneficial for players who both do play straight pool and that don't play straight pool.
David, you go first.
My favorite chapter is the one on longer runs, and it has very little to do with how to shoot. And it has everything to do with attitude and approach and how to think about the game and how to think about yourself in playing the game. It is, in my mind, the probably the most useful chapter in the book, just from the standpoint of the mental game and how you conquer the mental game, how you excel at the mental game.
Okay, I don't know if I have a favorite chapter. I think the most important chapter is actually the one on drills. And I know from experience, every time I mention drills to a student, they roll their eyes and, oh, yeah, I know. But
I think UG is the word you're searching for.
What word?
UG.
UG, yeah, right. Pool players generally don't know how to practice. And I'm absolutely fit into that category. I was one of those people. And I put this, I think this is right out of the book. The average pool player you see that wants to practice, they come into the pool hall, they throw the balls out on the table, and they start shooting. And if they miss a shot, they set it back up and shoot it again. And there's really not much thought for where the cue ball's going. I guarantee you that Alvin Ocean and Fedor Gorst and all those guys have shot hundreds of hours of drills. And a lot of people think that drills are real boring, but they're not. That's how you develop your game, starting with simpler drills and challenging yourself and then going to more advanced versions of the same drills. And I guarantee you that every time that I've scored a high run in straight pool, the week before was a week that I chose to work on some drills. It just makes all the difference in the world. And they can be fun if you approach them the right way.
You close out with the chapter 11, which is the road to 100. And of course you said that this was your favorite chapter, David. What do you think it takes a pool player to be able to run 100 balls?
What does it take? Mental fortitude would be my answer. And I can remember many times in straight pool where I was down on a shot. I didn't like the shot, but I knew that I could make it. And it was a matter of standing up, refocusing, and the little message that I give myself at that point is, do you want this to end here, or do you want to keep going? And in my mind, is what it takes to make long runs, and it's just a matter of fatigue. It's a matter of mental focus, or the lack of it, that will stop you more than anything else.
Yeah, and I would phrase it as, I would say, consistency and deliberation is what it takes. You know, every time that I've missed trying to run balls in straight pool, I've never missed a shot that I couldn't make. So how do you get that consistency and deliberation? And it's from shooting drills. But when you look at 9 ball and 10 ball, the penalty for missing is not very severe. And that's actually really came through in this. I've been going rack by rack through this last Moscone Cup, and the misses aren't necessarily penalizing in 9 ball and 10 ball. They're not as impactful to the outcome of the game as you think. But in straight pool, a missed shot is everything. You can sit down and watch your opponent run 100 balls. So what does it take to run 100 balls? It takes consistency and deliberation. And that's why you see that robot-like performance in those top European players. They all know, they all have it. When you play 9 ball and 10 ball, you have to have a long bridge and a loose stroke, and you got to fire those balls in and move around. But in straight pool, you want to be able to move, you want to be able to run patterns where your cue ball moves a minimal amount. And it requires a very precise ability to control the cue ball, or an ability to control the cue ball very precisely. And the better you can do that, that's how you're going to get longer runs. So it's very much an act of deliberation, playing in a very deliberate fashion.
If anybody out there is interested in your book, where would they be able to find it?
Just go to our website, shortstuffonpool.com.
And how much is it? What do you get with the book?
Okay, so the book is $70, and it's $55 for a PDF version. Some people, that sounds kind of high for a book, but you're not just getting a book. You're getting a USB drive with over 200 videos. So there's well over 100 videos where I demonstrate break shots from every single angle and contact points on the rack and how to deal with everything and what to expect. And then there's videos demonstrating every drill that's in the book and end patterns. And there's videos accompanying every single chapter in the book. So you're not just getting a book to read.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're getting everything you would ever need to know about the game of straight pool.
I would hope that's the case. I know after spending this entire year writing this book, that I could sit down and maybe write a better one. But but you can learn to run 100 balls from this book. It's got pretty much everything you need to get going. And like I said, this is for amateurs who already know how to play a little bit, but really want to learn how to improve their game.
Gotcha. Well, I guess it has been a pleasure bringing you both on today and learning a little bit more about straight pool. I think once I'm done being sick and dying, maybe I will. I think I've gotten a little bit of fire to practice some straight pool myself.
Yeah, Nate, I looked you up on Fargo. We're really, really, really close, and I challenge you to play some straight pool. You sounds like you're an accomplished player, But if you've never played straight pool before, I'm going to guess that you're in for a humbling experience. And that's a good thing, because how we learn.
I've played a little bit of it before. My high run, I think, is currently at 7 balls, which is, I thought, was pretty good. Is that good?
Well, start reading my book, and we're going to get you over 50 balls in a hurry. And then by the time you run 100 balls, you're going to be thinking about going pro.
Well, I'll take the under on that bet.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Bob, for joining me. Bob Keller, thank you very much. And David, it's been a pleasure as well. Would you like to say anything on the way out, either of you?
Yeah, check out my YouTube channel. It's also called Shortstop on Pool. I've got, about 15 videos. A lot of them are straight pool oriented, but I'm working on a video right now on the Moscone Cup 9-ball. So I'm just getting started basically on that channel and trying to build it and make something interesting and useful where people can have a conversation. So join me there.
Okay. My comment would be buy the book, www.shortstoponpool.com.
Well, that's a good message to send them out on. Well, it's been a pleasure, sure. You two. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Nate. It's a pleasure. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, very good.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcasts or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of the Cue It Up podcast.